You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. If you're just joining us, Paulie paying up on a bet that was made 5 years ago with Michael Phelps. Oh, Paulie was so determined to convince Michael Phelps to come back and swim again. Paulie even claims they pushed back the Olympics to let Michael Phelps have more time to reconsider swimming in the Olympics. Michael Phelps said, no, I'm not. And Paulie said he would wax his chest and put on a Speedo. And he has done exactly that today. Yes, Paulie.
And I actually got stuff sent from Michael Phelps. The cap and the trunks. These are official Michael Phelps stuff.
Yep. And we couldn't find somebody to wax Paulie's chest, so we used an electrical tape. Poor Dylan, our graphics guy, he had to put electrical tape on Paulie's chest.
I only have about 30 chest hair, so it was a quick process.
Yeah, but you look good. You got your swim cap on. You got your goggles. Thankfully, you have a sweatshirt on.
I look like a former swimmer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, let it go.
Like years and years, yeah. Decades ago.
That guy was a swimmer?
Yeah, yeah. Paulie's the after.
I'm wearing the goggles. You could see almost nothing out of these. Like, I can't imagine being in the water. There's no peripheral vision. I mean, I guess you turn your head, of course. But yeah. And everything's kind of this hazy green color.
Hazy. Bill, as Bill Walton would say, hazy green.
Smoky haze.
Smoky haze.
Jerry Garcia rising.
You can catch tons of exciting Premier League matches all weekend long. Check out this weekend's schedule. And don't forget to sign up for Peacock. Make sure you don't miss a match. Go to PeacockTV.com to get started. Phone calls are welcome. I told you what my scenario was that I'm rooting for, but I don't have any rooting fandom here for either of these teams on Sunday night with Belichick and Brady. I would be rooting for Belichick to win the game just because it kind of keeps the storyline going. If Tom comes in and wins, we expect him to win. And then that's it. He waves goodbye to the crowd, and then the story is done until the next book is written. By the way, the author of the newest book on the Patriots, Brady and Belichick, Seth Wickersham, will join us coming up final hour of the show. Try to make sense of Major League Baseball, the playoff scenarios. Kevin Millar from the Major League Baseball Network will join us coming up as well. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. The Cincinnati Bengals are 3-1, and they came from 14 points down to edge the Jacksonville Jaguars. Here is Urban Meyer after his fourth straight loss.
How frustrating is that?
That's devastating, heartbreaking. Usually I'm not wrong about stuff like that I just see a good team in there. I see good guys, good hearts. I see guys at work, and I told them I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong about that stuff, and this team's going to win some games.
I love that he cares. But it's almost like you have to program yourself to not care that much. It can't eat away at you. Week to week, can't do it. I mean, you almost have to have that. We're learning. I'm learning. Let's just gather information so then next year we're going to be ready to go. Free agency, the draft. Yes, Eaton.
To be devastated by a loss in week four.
I know. Here is Trevor Lawrence, the Jags quarterback.
Obviously, when you can control the game like we did in the first half, that's really the key. Really going in, it should have been 21-0. Second half, I don't think we did a great job on offense of holding onto the ball and eating some clock and just moving it. We played better on offense as far as just cleaned up a bunch of things. Just getting better every week. Obviously, that's heartbreaking, that loss. We're getting better.
Yeah, these guys don't lose. In fact, they never lose. At Ohio State, at Florida, even at Utah, Urban Meyer. Trevor Lawrence, high school, college, doesn't lose. All of a sudden you start to lose, and you're like, what's this feeling? And you don't want to get used to it, and you don't want to accept it, but I think you also have to process it and say, are we getting better? And, you're trying to increase, the pace that you're running. It's a marathon. You want to make sure that you continue to run. You're not stuck in neutral here. And there were moments last night. That play at the end of the first half, fourth and goal, and they went for it. I loved it. They didn't make it. Does that come back and haunt them? Yes. But you're not a good team. And I think showing confidence in your offense, I mean, that's what I took away from it. Now, granted, Trevor Lawrence got stopped, but if you're up 21 to nothing, it's, to me, a whole lot different than being up 14 to nothing. And they didn't get it, and it felt like, you know, the Bengals were, you know, they scored a touchdown by not giving up a touchdown there. Cincinnati did what they needed to do. It wasn't pretty, came back, down 14. Joe Burrow had some nice plays there, and Cincinnati is 3-1. Yes, McLovin.
3-1 with asterisk?
You can apply the asterisk.
No, they, you know, it is interesting. They've beaten the Steelers. Is that a good win? Is this a good win? And week one, I can't remember who they beat, but it still is a rebuilding team, right?
But it's better than a loss. Like, that's what you have to factor in. Where you go, yeah, they barely beat the Jags.
Yeah, but Vegas doesn't look at it like that. They're going to look at that as a next time they face a good team. Like, whoa, they could barely beat the Jags at home.
They just want to be playoff eligible. You know, after 8 games, they don't want to be eliminated. I mean, if they're 5-3 after 8 games, I'm sure Cincinnati fans would love that.
Do you think that they might build confidence and then roll that into like a 10-7?
I have no idea. You know, it depends on the rest of the division. Is Baltimore, you know, going to be a depleted team? Can you beat Cleveland one time? Can you beat Baltimore one time? You beat the Steelers. Can you beat the Steelers again? I'd have to look at the rest of their schedule to handicap it, but you got a quarterback. Every coach, every team is looking for their quarterback. Cincinnati has their quarterback. I mean, Joe Burrow is a legit quarterback. He's smart and not afraid, and I think he knows what he can and can't do. And Troy Aikman was raving about him in the pocket, sliding in the pocket. I don't want him running. He had a devastating knee injury. And what I saw last night, I think you got – there's a lot of promise there. And you got some wide receivers. I mean, that's all you want is, are we building? Are we moving forward? And Cincinnati, these are games you got to win. Yeah, Paul.
You talked about being playoff eligible. It can be enough. The 2 years the New York Giants won the Super Bowl that put Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame, they were 10-6 and 9-7. They made the playoffs by one game in both those seasons. If they had one more regular season loss in either of those seasons, they don't qualify for the playoffs. Eli Manning does not make the Hall.
877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. What's poll question we're going to go with this hour?
Hour one was, would you rather watch the entire NFL slate minus the Pats and Bucks game or just the Pats and Bucks game? It was actually pretty close. It was 62% said the entire NFL slate. Okay, we're throwing around a couple for hour two.
All right.
This is from Paul. If you could sign one of these players long-term right now, who would it be? Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence?
Well, we had sort of an offshoot of this question yesterday of who do you want, you know, as your quarterback, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence. And I said, you got to let Trevor Lawrence play the same number of games as Joe Burrow and give him, what did Joe play? 9 last year. He's played 4 this year. So Trevor's played 4. I'd like to see halfway through the season where Trevor Lawrence is. Now, his team might not be very good, but is he improving? Are they able to protect him? Now, that's really the key. Yes, McLovin.
It feels like right now Joe Burrow has better pieces around him, too. With Jamar Chase looks great.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon played great last night.
And you would take Joe Burrow right now, but I don't want to be, you know, short-sighted and go, what I've seen with Trevor Lawrence, I haven't seen enough that I'm really impressed. I'm not impressed by Zach Wilson. Am I ready to move on? No. Trey Lance, I've seen just a little bit. Justin Fields, a little bit. Mac Jones, just a little bit. I'm not ready to give you here's my stamp of approval or lack thereof. I'd need a larger sample size. Yeah, McLovin.
What if you expanded it and made it any young quarterback? Is Josh Allen or Justin Herbert? Take out Mahomes maybe, but who's like the young guy like that everyone's like, oh, this is a sure thing. Is it Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, maybe Burrow?
It feels like Herbert has the, boy, that guy is great in the pocket. Josh Allen is just he's a thing. Like he just, that's their offense. And it feels like he's closer to an MVP than Justin Herbert is, but it feels like Herbert's getting a lot of, you know, great fanfare with the analysts. Like, they're looking at what he's doing. And those who play the position, or a source of mine who's a scout, said he's not playing the way he did at Oregon. He's a different quarterback in there. And you could see when you have confidence. You go into Kansas City and you beat Patrick Mahomes, I mean, that has to embolden you. Josh Allen, with what he's done, how he's done it, I mean, confidence is so important at that position, because you can have it, and, man, you can lose it. Yeah, McLevin.
How about you throw in Kyler Murray? What if Kyler Murray wins this week with the Cardinals at the Rams?
Yeah, no.
Is he all of a sudden that?
He should be. But this is all week to week. What if he doesn't look good? Or what if, you know, Justin Herbert doesn't look good? What if Ben Roethlisberger throws four touchdowns? Is he still washed? Is he still, you know, they're going to replace him? Like, that's why you can't go, boy, they got it. Man, he doesn't look good at all. Okay, he doesn't. But it's three games.
You're not suggesting to pace yourself with the criticism.
Yeah, I am. Man. As crazy as that may sound.
We talked about this Monday.
Yes, I know. I'm a buzzkill. Yeah. I could never be on First Take or whatever Skip Bayless's show is, Undisputed, because I might go, I don't have a take today. You got to have a take today. I don't. Yes, McLean.
Did you see who Panthers coach Matt Rhule compared Dak Prescott to?
Let's see. Yes, I did. Peyton Manning.
Yeah, that's a nice little comparison for Dak Prescott.
That's a stretch. That's just a stretch.
He's looked unbelievable this year, though.
I know, but he's what's his QBR?
It's probably really high.
I don't think so.
Oh, it's not?
I don't know. Why don't you check the QBR?
Doesn't Dak complete like 80% of his passes? That's like, he's incredibly accurate in the NFL. But it's not long passes.
What is Dak Prescott's QBR?
Oh, man. You're right. He's 21st in the league in quarterback rating.
Yeah.
Who do you think is number one in the league? Whatever you think of quarterback rating, whatever. We talked about him in the past 2 minutes.
Kyler Murray.
Matt Stafford. Number two is Kirk Cousins. Number three
of course
is Teddy Two Gloves, Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, all right. I'm not a QBR guy, but, you know, Dak has, you know, sort of been average with QBR.
Ooh, I got the bottom three in quarterback rating. Zach Wilson, Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. Yikes. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz, 27.
Ooh.
What is QBR, by the way?
Nobody knows.
I don't know.
Yeah, QBR is ESPN stat. It's not even a real number.
I had the traditional quarterback ratings, and Russell Wilson is number one, Matt Stafford number two, Tyrod Taylor is three. This has to be flawed.
Because they still don't factor in winning a game.
No.
That's my point. I don't care what your rating is. Did you win the game? That should be the most important stat in all of this. Yes, Seton.
This stat exists only so quarterbacks can be like, not my fault. Not my fault. I played well.
Look at my QBR.
Yeah, my QBR is off the charts. You
Russell
guys
Wilson's QBR is number one in the league, but they haven't won enough.
Yeah. Not I'm still fault. Trying to figure out WAR and VORP and some of these other ones. Yeah. One of these days, I'm going to get caught up on my analytics.
I like to use those terms with no knowledge of what they actually mean.
And you do a good job. You do. What about his VORP? I go, I don't know what a VORP is.
And you deliver it with such a way that's like, what are you, stupid?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but what about his VORP? Ugh. I don't even have time for this
conversation. Do you know what his WAR is? No.
First of all, his yak is garbage. How can he be a great receiver?
Yeah. What's his yak? Yes, Paulie.
Zach Wilson, the Jets, is on pace to be sacked 87 times this year.
That would be a record.
Yes.
That would be a record. Couple of phone calls here. Let's see. How about Bob in Seattle? Hi, Bob.
Good morning, DP.
Good morning, bud.
6'1", 180. Happy Meat Friday.
Yep.
Great game last night. Very fun. For once, I'm very grateful for the radio to avoid the visual shenanigans today. what a weigh in on the Tampa Bay Patriot game. The Malcolm Butler interception cuts far too deep, brother. Got to go with Tommy and the Bucks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bob. Have a great weekend. Yeah. Malcolm Butler. Ouch. Greatest play in Super Bowl history? Yeah, McLevin.
Just a note, I forgot to tell you. Guess what the highest rated Super Bowl of all time is?
Tampa Bay, Seattle.
No, the Tom Brady versus Seattle, the one where you were.
Tom Brady versus Seattle.
That Seahawks Patriots where you were there. That I saw an article. That's the most watched Super Bowl of all time.
No kidding.
According to this article, yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Kevin in North Carolina, then we'll take a break. Hey, Kevin.
How you doing, Dan?
Great, Kev.
So I want to talk about the game. All right. So the game last night, it was an exciting game, fun, that I watched all the way through. But the part I want to talk about was after the goal line stand and since he had the ball down there, I thought that was some pretty good coaching as I was watching it, the delay they took. But the crowd booing.
I know.
Are Cincinnati Bengals fans football illiterate? And are the Bengals good?
I don't know if the Bengals are good, but I do think they have there's positivity there. And you haven't been able to say that very often with Cincinnati. I mean, that's all you're looking for as a fan. If I said to the Jets fan, hey, what do you think? And they're like, there's no positivity. If I say to a Bears fan, hey, what do you think? At least with the Bengals, okay. National TV, you got to win. You're 3-1. You got your franchise quarterback. You may have a franchise wide receiver. You're just looking for building blocks, something that is positive. If you said to Detroit, do you go, hey, how you feeling? Hey, we almost beat the Ravens. No. Ask Miami how they're feeling. Ask the Texans how they're feeling. No. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back. Kevin Moir from the Major League Baseball Network will join us. When's the last time you had two teams in the same division with at least 100 wins? Because that's what you have with the Dodgers and the Giants. And it looks like the Dodgers are going to be in a one-game wild card showdown with the Cardinals. Take a break. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. This award-nominated program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans, built, equipped, engineered for ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. We get more phone calls coming up. In the divisional era, since 1969, it's happened five times where two teams in the same division won at least 100 games. You got the Giants and the Dodgers this year. The Giants have 105. I remember listening, and might have been Mad Dog Radio, Chris Russo, and they were talking about over-unders to start the season. And he's a big Giants fan. And I don't know if he went over with the Giants, but it felt like the Giants, their over-under was 75 wins or something like that. Maybe even less. The Dodgers have 103, and they're going to play in a wild card game, it looks like. 2018, the Red Sox won 108, and the Yankees 100. 2001, the Mariners 116, the A's won 102. 93, the Braves won 104, the Giants 103. And 1980, the Yankees 103, the Orioles 100. Kevin Millar, kind enough to join us, MLB Network analyst. He won the World Series 2004 with the Red Sox, and you can check him out with Intentional Talk. That's on the MLB Network. Yankees Rays tonight at 7, followed by the Mariners and the Padres. Kevin, thanks for joining us. How you feeling?
Danny, I'm doing good. A little allergies, all's good, though, here in Austin, Texas.
All right, handicap this for me. Let's start with the National League West. Why are the Giants the best team in the West and maybe the best team in baseball?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, it's shocking to start the season and to think, yeah, they're going to have 105 wins here to start of October, but they do all of the little things right to win a baseball game. So whatever that is, it's kind of like the Rays. We've watched the Rays since Joe Mann was there winning 90-plus games. You couldn't name nine guys in that team, if not five, besides their starting rotation in Evan Longoria. Back then was David Price and James Shields. Now you look at the Giants, it's a lot of the same type stuff. You could say Crawford's having a career year, and yes, he is probably the most underrated shortstop out there, and it's been that way, but they just play baseball. So whatever this new generation is with all the matchups and all the stuff, Farhad and Gabe Kapler work well together. They believe in their theories. They believe in their stuff, and they're winning baseball games.
Yeah, but here are the Dodgers with 103, and they're probably going to have a showdown with the Cardinals next week. I know we say this, you know, we see the results are like, they're going to win 104 games, 105 games, and they could be out after one game. Why don't we have seeding where, you know, these, we just go with victories. Like that way everybody keeps playing the entire year at the end of the season, and then we just seed the teams, whether you did National League that way in the American League or did it, you know, combined them. What do you think about that possibility?
You know what? That's a great idea. And, you know, because you do look at this. We asked yesterday on the show, are the Dodgers the best wild card team ever? And I said, no, because 2004 Red Sox are, Dan, and you knew that answer, obviously. Okay, so let's stop with that question. But when you look at a powerhouse and you look at Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, what the Dodgers have done since they've acquired them, I think they're like 43-13 or 43-6, whatever the number is, and they've picked up a game on the Giants. That's why what you say is it's a great idea, because it makes every team play. Just like an Ohtani, you know, he's not going to pitch the last game of the year on Sunday. And now you're playing the Mariners, which that could be a big deal. Mariners are probably in the best situation besides the Yankees to make this situation go in the wild card in the East. But it is an idea. And I know they're looking to always make the game better. Maybe that does.
It's just difficult to have an entire season where you dominate and you're going to play one game. It's going to come down to Scherzer versus Adam Wainwright. Like, is there any other? So I would think baseball searching for revenue would at least make it a best of three. I like the one game win or go home, but it's not. I'm not the one that spent an entire season, 6 months, getting to this point. What makes the most? What is fair in a situation? And you may like the one game.
Well, I know that's how important it is to win a division, because it buys you those other games. So that there's your gift that you're trying to go to the end of the season. You have to win the division. If you don't, now you have a wild card. And the great thing about this, Danny, wild card teams win the World Series also. It's the team that gets hot. I mean, who says that the Cardinals were going to be in the playoffs 6 weeks ago? I had them done, that Jack Flaherty goes down, their starting rotation couldn't throw strikes, they couldn't get anybody out. You're sitting here going, Nolan Arenado and Goldschmidt, please take us to the promised land. And you look up and they go ahead and win 17 straight games. And you're like, what just happened? Yeah. Right? And now, are they the team to beat in the postseason? And you wouldn't have said that 6 weeks ago. So it seems like every week something changes. It was the Blue Jays about 2 weeks ago. I'm like, you can't beat him. You might have the Cy Young, Vlad Jr. If it wasn't the Ohtani year, like, he's the MVP. They have a nice rotation to can match up with people, so they're dangerous. But then all of a sudden the Yankees go in there and take two out of three. Like, okay, well, you know, they'll try. But it's a very intriguing is the word this year, because every week it changes. You can flip a coin and go, yeah, the Brewers this week. Go ahead and face those three. But then they lose to Devin Williams. Now it's all Josh Hader. So every week something different, but it's going to be a great run.
You bring up Devin Williams, the reliever for the Brewers. He's out for the postseason. He broke his hand celebrating or after celebrating. How often are injuries hidden? Like, the true injury of how it happened, and then you could sort of make it into a sports-related injury, even though it probably wasn't a sports-related injury?
Yeah, there's that stuff. I mean, look, you know, you and I are on a team and we go out and have a few cocktails. Okay, Danny slips on a step and your ankle gets twisted. The next day you're out. Well, let's say that was on a treadmill. So that stuff's going to happen, right? It's not that everybody needs to know you had two Jack and Cokes because you were so excited the Boston Red Sox went out and shocked the world. That stuff's there. But, you know, I mean, most of those things, you snap, you do dumb things. We are human beings. You punch walls. It doesn't make sense. It can cripple a team. This might hurt this club. He's a great kid. His changeup's devastating. He's like a Trevor Hoffman type changeup. And then you had that Josh Hader 8-9 scene. So, yeah, this is a tough loss for the Brew Crew. Their offense is going to have to pick him up.
Have you seen a stupid injury before? Without naming names. Without naming names. Like, somebody.
Yeah, no, I never had to deal with a stupid injury. I mean, we dealt with the helicopters and Curt Schilling's ankle, which was not stupid. That was just straight heroic. and then you put ketchup on it, you know, behind the scenes, you and I. But besides that, no, I've never really had to deal with a teammate punching a wall and like, ah!
Isn't it amazing people still think that Schilling put ketchup on that sock? Did you see it's his ankle? That ankle?
It's such a great skit because it's Schill for one. Two, I mean, we had the whole scene going. And three, why didn't the Yankees bunt? Not one drag bunt that game. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, DJ's got to lay down a bunt just to see if he can move because he can't move with two ankles.
Even when he was healthy, he couldn't move.
He couldn't move.
I remember, you know, I mean, that whole scene was just crazy. When he came out of the dugout for an off day to go pitch in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And we all thought, oh, here's Schill, red light Schill, you know, milking it. Oh, my God, heroic. This is going to be incredible. And then all of a sudden I talked to Terry Francona. I go, is that Schill being Schill? He goes, he thinks he can pitch. Yeah. And I go, what? I said, are you going to let him? And he goes, I might. I go, oh, my God. Like, we were given Schilling grief, and then you realize, and then you see the ankle, and you realize, I mean, he might have put ketchup on that sock, but that ankle was gnarly.
It was the most unbelievable thing, because I walked in the clubhouse, and I had, you know, back then we had camcorder, so I'm sitting over here like, oh, this is amazing. So my little camcorder that I was talking smack with him, it looked like a little shark bite. I said, pull that thing down. And I had it there. I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. But it was truly, I mean, it was great. It was Schilling. But, like, the fans and the New York fans, was it a bloody sock? Was it the ketchup? I'm like, guys, I was just surprised we didn't get the drag bunt, period, in the story.
We're talking to Kevin Millar, Major League Baseball Network analyst. You can watch Kevin co-host Intentional Talk plus MLB Network. Will feature Yankees Rays tonight at 7, followed by Mariners and the Padres. Handicap this for us. How's this play out in the postseason?
Well, first of all, can we just – did you see the Tatis home run over out of the stadium? Now, I grew up a Dodger fan. I used to go to Dodger Stadium. We've seen Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco. We've seen some monster power guys step in that batter's box. I've never seen a right-hander. Daryl Strawberry hit one, I think, on top, you know, back in whatever it was when he had the little Franklin, the orange and blue batting gloves that we all had to have back then. It was awesome. But I remember him – swinging, I think, and hit one up there to the right side. I've never seen this ever, Danny. Have you ever seen a ball hit the top of that?
I think McGwire.
Did he?
Yeah, I think McGwire did. Stargell left-handed. Uh-huh. Bonds maybe did it. Straw. I think it's happened. That was the fifth time it's happened. And I think I think McGwire, whose birthday is today, I think Mac put one out of Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, that was I was watching it live. I just sat there. I was like Max Muncy at first base. I sat there. I'm like, did that just hit on top or did that hit the bleachers and then go on top? I mean, it was remarkable.
If you're a left fielder, though, and pitchers talk about this, don't show me up. If I gave up that home run, at least back to the wall and act like you have a shot. I remember there was one where it might have been Bonds. Bonds was in left field. And he had his hands on his hip or on his knees. And he didn't move.
No.
So somebody
he just did this one.
Yeah, somebody hit a bomb. He didn't even look. He didn't look over his shoulder. He knew it was gone. And you guys know that sound. That sound where you go, oh my God, how far? Not if it is, you know, it might be, it could be. It's just like, oh my God.
I've never seen that. It was truly remarkable. I just couldn't believe it. It was a breaking ball. I'm like, good Lord, I couldn't hit a breaking ball that far from a fungal from second base, let alone he sits there. Yeah, but to handicap this out, to answer your question, I still believe in the Dodgers. I love their depth. I mean, I don't care. It's hard not to believe in the Dodgers. I think the Yankees can be a problem when they hit home runs like they did last night. You know, there's all these teams that have all this stuff. Red Sox, stop looking behind your shoulder. Just go ahead and try to get six outs late in the game. Do your thing. Okay, that didn't work. Yankees have to hit home runs. That's how they win games. You do not want to face that lineup when they're hot because they hit three-run home runs, and I don't care how many strikeouts they have, but they get hot, and it gets scary. I do like the Dodgers beating Wainwright and the Cardinals, if you were to ask me personally. I think they'll advance. I am a believer in the San Francisco Giants. I think they pitch. They pitch. They play defense, and they pitch. At the end of the day, the Houston Astros, look out for them. I think mentally they're the toughest team out there. I think everything they've had to overcome, I think everything they have to deal with, this team just keeps plugging away. I think Dusty Baker does such a great job of kind of just, you know what, it's us against the world, and with a smile to an extent. So if you're to ask me, how cool would it be? Dodgers Astros 2017 World Series. Let's go.
Yep. I'm right there with you. What should Shohei Ohtani do?
Oh, man. You know, it is such an intriguing. Think about this for a second, Danny. We got Rendon at third base. If he comes back and has and is who he is, 80% of who he was at Rice University. And you got Mike Trout, an MVP. You got Ohtani, who's going to be the MVP. If they could figure out starting pitching, how to spend money or draft in June or whatever it is, because the Giants, it happened quick. Okay, I mean, this team you might have had in fourth place, fifth place. You might have had the Rockies, they had them start the year. They got 105 wins right now. But I think he stays. I think they have to get smart on the staff. And I don't know why that's so hard, because that's where the game's won. That's where the game's won. We all have cute salaries, and we got $1 billion in the infield with the Padres. Everybody's making a bunch of money. But at the end of the day, you've got to toe it up every fifth day, and the Angels got to find a way to do that.
Yeah, but if I said to Mike Trout, hey, you want to go someplace else? Hey, don't sign that contract. You want to go someplace else? You have more hits than Mike Trout does in the postseason.
Yeah, it's tough, because it's the one game that we can't take our team to the promised land. LeBron could take his team to the NBA Finals. Brady could obviously take his team to the Super Bowl. Baseball's not that way, Dan. You're going to need somebody to step up like 17 other guys.
Yeah, but would you stay if you're Ohtani? Like, what's the reason why?
I mean, things have changed now, so probably you have to sit back and go, okay, where's the world at? Now, take all that baloney out of thing. The weather's not bad there. It's a great place to play if you're wired that way. I remember talking to Garrett Anderson a lot. Garrett Anderson, Cary High School, I believe. Great guy. And, they got four reporters they answer to. We're over here in Boston. He goes, how do you do it? We got 72 stories going. Did Dan Patrick take his shirt off over there? Is Kevin and Schilling in a fight? Is Big Poppy and Pedro? So how it is. The East Coast, there's some pressure. It's hot when you're doing bad. And it's you're Aerosmith when you're doing great. But if you're wired, blue skies, the rally monkey's going to come up. We're going to have Calling All the Angels by Train. It's a great place to play. Beautiful place.
Yeah, but you're not winning. You get October off.
Yeah, but some guys would rather be rich and buy a house for $30 million over there on the Pacific Ocean. That's cool, too. Not everybody's wired to win. That's what's funny. That's why I say when you go out and get free agents in the East Coast or Boston, or you better be makeup-wise. It's not the best player, but you better have some makeup to compete when things aren't going great. Now, you tell me. You tell me every player's a winner?
No, I know that. But Ohtani says he wants to win. Now, maybe he's just saying that.
Who hasn't said that?
Yeah,
which players told you, hey, Dan, I just want to go ahead and make $300 million and not win? And what would you say? How could they sign a guy that's not a winner? But that's what happens.
Do you think Trout wishes that he played someplace else where he was playing in meaningful games?
I do, because I know he's a Jersey boy. So when you look up, everybody misses his third and fourth at bat on the East Coast. The article's already written, right? So they see two or three at bats, and then off you go. But we're in bed.
Yeah, I know.
It stinks.
Mike Piazza hit one out of Dodger Stadium.
Did he really? From a righty? Is he the only other right-hander besides, we were saying, McGuire?
I got McGuire and Piazza. And I think Willie Stargell did it twice.
I hit an absolute bomb in my own world off Chan Ho Park, and I think it three-hopped that back blue wall in the bullpen. It was probably 379 feet. I felt like I left the stadium. Where he hit that ball last night doesn't make sense, Danny.
I know. It's
he's a talent, by the way.
Who's winning National League MVP?
Wow. I mean, did Bryce Harper make a nice run? Did he make a nice run? But, I mean, that's a tough one. They're both not going the postseason. Tatis is my MVP.
I know. Oh, you like Tatis?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who do you like?
Probably Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
But I think I saw more Bryce Harper than Tatis. I like to see games. I like to see what happens in a game, not just a highlight. I give Bryce Harper credit because I haven't always been on the bandwagon. I thought there was more hype there. And here's another thing. When people talk about Mike Trout, boy, he's going to be one of the great players of all time. I said he should aspire to be Miguel Cabrera. Let's start there because Miggy has incredible stats. He did win MVP, you know, 500 home runs. He's going to have 3,000 hits. I mean, that's where Mike's next step should be, not one of the great players of all time. Is he going to be as good as Miguel Cabrera when it's all said and done? And I know that sounds crazy for people to think, but Miguel Cabrera has had an unbelievable, underrated career, in my opinion.
I mean, you could put him, Manny, and Albert Pujols in their prime, give me their best 5-6 year span. Who's the best right-handed hitter in that generation, in your opinion? Oh, when they're hot.
Manny was unbelievable. But, you know, Manny was artificially inflated, so I got to factor that in. right? I got to have artificial inflation there. You can't comment, right?
I can't comment. Okay. I just love eating Sour Patch Kids and Coke bottles, gummy bears.
probably Manny. I think Manny had those moments where you're going, how did he hit that? And you
know why?
You can't.
He had probably the prettiest right-handed swing. Most lefties have pretty swings. They can kind of finish and do the old Griffey. Manny had that from the right side that just had that where he can release that bat. I'm like, how'd you hit that ball 440 to right center with one hand?
I know.
He was pretty.
But if I said you could have Big Poppy or Manny up in the clutch, game Poppy on the line.
Hands down, Poppy. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Saw it for 3 straight years. Anytime you need a 2-run home run, it was there. Anytime you need a 2-run base hit, it was there. I mean, they're both special. Poppy, I mean, he had like 500 in the World Series in 2013. I mean, he didn't even get out, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, he had to if he only batted 500. If he doesn't get out, maybe it's
LAC.
Maybe.
LAC, Jira College. Yeah,
see. Great to talk to you, and hopefully we'll catch up here soon again. Thank you, buddy.
You look great, Danny.
Thank you, Kev. You too. Kevin Millar, Major League Baseball Network analyst, and you got Yankees-Rays tonight, followed by the Mariners and the Padres. Phone calls coming up, and we'll discuss the Super Bowl halftime show as well back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Super Bowl halftime show. Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, and Kendrick Lamar. Any complaints from the audience here? Like, all right, I'm fine. Oh, I'm not a big halftime show, even though I've been very fortunate to have been in person, whether it was Prince or Springsteen, the Stones. But I don't get caught up in, oh my God, this is a travesty that you got this or you don't have that or this isn't represented. I got new school, old school there, and yeah, I'm fine with it. Anybody got a problem with it, Todd?
I think it's awesome. I'm not as into Kendrick Lamar or Mary J. Blige, but you give me Snoop and Eminem and Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
I'd take the last two out and put Run DMC and LL Cool J in there.
Yeah, Seton.
I think it's a pretty great way to capture Los Angeles. I mean,
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
you know, Dr. Dre, Snoop, and Kendrick are, you know, synonymous with Los Angeles. So other than like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, or like Fleetwood Mac or something, they kind of are Los Angeles music, certainly right now.
I thought the Beach Boys might have crept in there, and maybe there would be a shot, but maybe too old school. Because you want that young audience, and if you know, halftime show. That's how you get a big audience. It's the Super Bowl is just different. I think it's programmed differently. It's like the Olympics. The Olympics is to get a big number, we have to get everybody watching, not just sports fans. With the Super Bowl, the halftime show, you know, that's where you have 100 million people watching and you want to keep them through halftime. Yeah, I guess people will be entertained by that. McLovin?
I just think it's noteworthy that, like, there's been a couple really odd ones the last couple of years. And good way, the weekend with the mirrors thing, I think, took a lot of people by surprise. And Lady Gaga, I'm not a Lady Gaga fan, but that stuff blew me away.
Lady Gaga was pretty spectacular. She was. I mean, that was quite a performance there. But, you know, I didn't know if we were going to see Taylor Swift at some point.
Isn't she still in some sort of weird concert? I heard, like, you know, she's still got that Pepsi Coke thing going on.
No.
Yeah, like, everybody wants to see Taylor Swift perform everywhere, but she can't really do it.
Yeah, I guess if I really wanted to see somebody, I would go see them in concert. It wouldn't be, oh, I can't wait to see you at the Super Bowl halftime show. Yeah, Paulie.
I find the production amazing. We were at the Super Bowl where Justin Timberlake performed. He was running around the stadium, which was just about pitch dark, and there's only one light on him, and he was going up and down between the stands with the fans, and fans were within a foot of him. I mean, it was impressive production. I don't know how they do it.
I also wondered about Jay-Z's relationship with the commissioner, because that happened a couple of years ago. And Jay-Z and Roc Nation, they're producing the halftime show.
So, how about California Love? Dr. Dre does it, and Kendrick Lamar jumps in with Tupac's spot.
I'm okay with that, too. It's pretty good. And then have Kendrick Lamar with that voice come in here. That'd be popping, as the kids like to say. If Mary J. Blige does one by U2, I would consider that a success. It's actually one of my favorite songs ever. Just because you hear Bono sing it, and then all of a sudden Mary J. Blige comes in, and then you realize Bono is basically saying, it's like giving the baton to Usain Bolt to run the anchor leg. That Bono got you. You know, you're competitive, and then you just give the baton to Mary J., and then she takes it, and then she's gone with it. All right, final hour coming up. Seth Wickersham has written a book on the Patriots, literally, and he's got a new book out, and we'll talk about the relationship Brady and Belichick going into this big game. College football this weekend, Arkansas, Georgia, Cincy, Notre Dame, Ole Miss, Bama, Baylor, Arkansas, Oklahoma State, BC, Clemson, Auburn, and LSU. Cincy, Notre Dame has my attention. We'll tune in to see how Lane Kiffin does against Alabama. Arkansas, Georgia, that's a noon game. Georgia, big favorite in that one. Final weekend of Major League Baseball coming up as well. 76ers got a real problem here. Do you pay Ben Simmons to sit out? I have that story for you coming up here. Final hour in this Meet Friday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.